Today's shiur is Masechet Gittin, Daf Lamed Hey, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amud, the second line, Nimnu Melashbia. We had learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah had taught us that if a woman is an almana and she comes to collect the ksuba from the estate of her husband, the halacha we learned was that she needs to swear, but then we learned in the Mishnah that Nimnu Melashbia, they stopped the swearing, which we're about to discuss why, and they started something else instead, making a nether. And asked the Gemara, my Tama, why did Rabbi Gamliel institute that they should no longer allow the women to swear in order to be able to collect the ksuba and not be, why did they stop her from swearing that she had not already received her ksuba payment? Elaim Shum the Rav Kahana, perhaps one could suggest the reason is because as Rav Kahana taught us, Rav Kahana teaches us how serious a shvua is. And although certainly making a false neder is also extremely serious, but a shvua, Rav Kahana teaches us, is even more serious. Dar Rav Kahana, Vamlei Amr of Yehuda Marav, Mas Maisa Ba'adam Echad B'Shnei B'Tzuras. There was an incident with a specific individual during a hunger year. Shehifka din azov eitzel amana. He left for safekeeping a din azov by an amana. Ve'nichtoi, and this amana went and left it bekatchel kamach. She put it into the flour, in a flour jug for safekeeping. Va'ofisa bepas, and then she forgot that she had this coin in the flour, and she baked it into the bread, v'nasna sala ani, and she gave that loaf to a poor person. She gave that loaf to a poor person. L'yamim, a couple of days later, bo bala dinner, the person who had the dinner came to her. V'amla havli dinri, give me my dinner. Amle yehanes sama muvas be'echad be'manesh lois isha. She said a terrible curse that one of my children should die, im nanesa menidrach klum, if I had any pleasure, I had any benefit from your dinner. And the Mefarshim point out that even though we usually know that the halacha is that for a shvua to be considered a shvua, one has to mention the name of Hashem, here the name of Hashem some say the name of Hashem was mentioned here also, otherwise it would not be considered a shvua, whereas others say that the name of Hashem is not what's crucial. What's crucial is that it should show a seriousness to the shvua, and certainly here, by her connecting the shvua to the life of her child, certainly she showed extreme seriousness to the shvua. Amru, so they said, lehoi yomim mi'atim, at shemes echmena. In fact, a couple of days later, one of her children died. Kishom chacham bedover, and when the chacham heard about this, Amru, umay mishnizbe be'emeskach. She said, if somebody who swore truthfully, she didn't think she was lying, and Nishbal Shekhar, Alach's Kam Vakama, certainly someone who swears falsely is certainly in much greater danger. Ask the Gemara, my Tama Insha. So why did she get punished? Her child died. She didn't intentionally intend to swear falsely. Answers the Gemara, the Shtar Shalom Makam Dinner. She did have benefit, because she benefited by the amount of the space that the coin took up instead of flour. If she wouldn't have had the coin there, she would have used that. She would have need to have that amount of flour, and that's what the Gemara means. My mission, Nishba Be'emes, if somebody swears truthfully, so what? It wasn't truthfully. It's the Gemara me. She was like somebody who swore truthfully. She meant to say the right thing. She didn't intentionally lie. The Mefarshim discuss what is the lesson of the story. The Ben Yoyada tells us, look at this story. Here we have a woman who, it was a hunger year, and she gave tzedakah, and Therefore, we could certainly believe that she doesn't deserve a punishment for this, for making this unintentional false shvuah. The Gemara is teaching us the seriousness of a false shvuah. In fact, the Ksav Sofer does ask, this woman's intentions were only honorable. How could it come out that such a terrible punishment came to a person who had such wonderful intention? So the Ksav Sofer says, it could well be that when she gave the tzedakah to this poor person, her intentions were not as honorable as one would maybe believe. And perhaps she gave the tzedakah for the sake of COVID, and therefore she suffered. Another teretz that's given is that this entire issue is only an issue, they say, in the time of a hunger year, where this small dinner has real value. Whereas in other years, where a dinner doesn't really have a value, that much value, the din perhaps would have been differently. And yet a third explanation that I saw is that under normal circumstances, what this woman did in placing the coin in a, placing the coin in the flour would be very unacceptable. That is not the place where you put away a coin that somebody asked you to watch. Only in a time of hunger, where the flour is such a valuable commodity, putting a coin in the flour is considered an acceptable place for putting the coin, for putting the coin away. The Mefarshim debate, was she responsible to pay or not? The Chazon Ish seems to say that this is considered a pshia. The fact that she didn't remember where she put the coin and then baked the coin into the bread. There are other mefarshim that say that she would not be, she would not have had to pay. The Tosfos asks, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Shvuos that if somebody was honest when he made a shvuah, when he thought that he was saying the truth, when he actually wasn't saying the truth, the halacha is that he's not considered that he violated a shvuah. So if so, why did this person, why did this woman get this terrible punishment? She didn't intend to do, she was honest. She thought she was saying the truth. So Tosfos says, as we said a moment ago, here it was a situation of bikkudin. Somebody had asked her to watch something on their behalf, and there's a higher level of responsibility there. And by her not living up to that responsibility, she was not considered honest b'shvuah. Tosfos HaRashi answers, this exemption of an honest b'shvuah is only regarding the obligation to bring a carbon. There, somebody who's an honest doesn't have to bring a carbon. But we're not talking about a carbon here. There's certainly not an excuse that a person could say it was an honest. And the Maril explains that perhaps as far as the shvuah was concerned, technically one could argue that the shvuah was not considered a false shvuah because she was an oinus. But the lesson of Al Gemara, he says, is that bris krusa l'sfosayim. A person has to watch what they say. And this woman, by making this strong statement about the life of a child, put her child's life into jeopardy. The Ksav Sofer uses the concept that Al Gemara just taught us, that the place of the flour which they saved is considered a monetary benefit, to explain an interesting medrash. He says the medrash, the pasuk says, "V'nesim hiviu as avnei hashoyam v'as avnei hamaluim lo eifed v'lachoshin." They were the ones that brought the avnei maluim. That was their contribution. The Gemara says, Masechta Yuma asked the Ksav Sofer, that where did they get these Avni Meluim? That when they went out to collect the mon, with the mon, they found these stones. So the question is obvious. Why are they getting credit for bringing this donation? It wasn't their donation. From Shamayim came down these valuable stones. Answered the Ksav Sofer, in the pile where they normally got the mon, some of the space that there would have normally been mon was now taken up by the stones. So they had, the days that they received the stones, they had less mon. And our Gemara just taught us that saving space is considered a profit, is considered a benefit. That benefit that the Nesim gave up, that the space that they could have had mon, they had the stones, that was what they donated when they donated the Avni Shoim and the Avni Milon. Ask the Gemara, so now we understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that they said that Almana should no longer make a Shvua, and the reason is, as we just learned, because Shvua carries with it such serious repercussions. Ask the Gemara, Imishim Ha, if that's the concern, my Irya Almana. Why does the Mishnah say only Almana, Afil Grusha Nami, Dalach ought to be a Grusha when she wants to collect the Ksuba, should not be allowed to swear if the repercussions of swearing are so serious? Only an Almana was the person that we said should not swear. Ava Grusha must be a Nisot. A Grusha, the Gemara Masechet Ksubos lists 5 cases where she's required to swear in order to collect her ksuba. Why are we differentiating between a grusha and almana? So before we go further in our sugya, the Chasam Sofer asks a very fundamental question. Chazal determined that it's inappropriate that a shvua be made because of the seriousness of the repercussions. Ask the Chasam Sofer, so why did we change, as we're going to learn right now, and that the woman should make a neder, if we don't want to let her make a shvua, it should be to her loss, and she should not be able to collect the ksuba? Why should the yesaimim have to give up on their right to get a shvua? Answer the Chasam Sofer, the yesaimim are really not giving up anything. Because says the Chasam Sofer, the yesaimim are very satisfied to have to pay the ksuba. For as long as they don't pay the ksuba, they're obligated to support the almana. So they don't want a shvua, we don't want, as we learned, because it's a concern about a full shvua. But the yesaimim don't want to be left in a situation that they shouldn't pay out the ksuba and have to indefinitely have to pay the support. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara's question again is, why are we more concerned by almana than by a grusha? Answers the Gemara, almana shana, the behi hanodika torcha kame diyasmi. She takes care of the yesaimim. What that causes to do is she feels that she's entitled to more because she worked on their behalf, and therefore she may come to think that the money she took improperly, which should be deducted from the ksuba payment that she's entitled to, she's not going to consider it a deduction. She's going to consider it something she's entitled to, and that's why Chazal told us that this woman, should not swear. But specifically Almana, who, because she's taking care of the Yisoyimim, could come make that mistake. Amar Yehuda, Amar Yimri Ba'aba, Rav Shmuel Amri Tavayu, Loishon Al Bezdin. This that we said that she shouldn't swear is only when she swears in Bezdin itself. Av Chutz Le Bezdin, outside of Bezdin, there the halacha is Mashbina Yisoy, we do allow her to, she does swear. And we have a machloikis, what is the difference between a shvua in Bezdin and a shvua outside of Bezdin? Some Rishonim say there's absolutely no difference other than the fact that this is in Bezdin, which has much more of a seriousness than outside. However, most Rishonim, that's the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos, say that a shvua in Bezdin is done in the Kitas Chayfetz, where she holds Sefer Torah or Tefillin, and in Chutz Le Bezdin she doesn't have to do that. And that takes away from the seriousness of the shvua. There are other Rishonim that explain, I saw, that in Bezdin, besides the Nikitas Chayfetz, which these Rishonim say also takes place when they make the shvua outside of Bezdin, but there are other part of the ceremony, the lights were dimmed, etc., and that wasn't done Chutz Le Bezdin. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is it true what we just said, that Rav allowed the Almana to make a shvua outside of Beis Din. V'Rav lo magbik ksuba l'amalto. Rav never collected a ksuba on behalf of an almana. But according to what we just learned, he should have. Let him make the shvuah chutz l'Beis Din. Says the Gemara, kasha. Indeed, that is a kasha. The Surah Mas Nahachi. In Surah, they've learned the Gemara the way we just learned. Benadah Mas Nahachi. They learned it in the following way. Amr Yehuda Mishmul, Loi Shon El Beis Din. When we said that Almana should not make a shvuah, that's only in Beis Din. Abel Chutz Le Beis Din Mashbinai Soy. Outside of Beis Din, we do let him make a shvuah. For Rav Amr, and Rav says, Afil Chutz Le Beis Din Nami E Mashbinai Soy. Even outside, we don't make a shvuah, because Rav Latamei, and Rav therefore follows his opinion, the Rav Loi Magbik Ksuba L'Amalta. Rav never collected a ksuba for Almana, because she never had the way of getting her ksuba, because she never made the shvuah, and according to Rav, without making the shvuah, she doesn't get a ksuba. Why did Rav follow this opinion? So Rashi explains that Rav's opinion is that if you cannot make the shvuah properly, don't make the shvuah. For ask the Gemara of Adra Legba, according to Rav, why not make her make the nether like the Mishnah taught us, like Rav Gamliel taught us that she should make a nether? So fine, Rav, as we just explained, is against making, says shvus outside a Beis Din don't have that much value, but let her make a nether. Answers the Gemara, b'shnei de Rav in Rav's times, kile nidri, people weren't serious about Nedarim, and therefore making a nether, Rav felt, doesn't really prove that she didn't get a ksuba, because people weren't serious about Nedarim they made. Says the Gemara, Hahida Oslo Kamed Rav Huna, there was a woman that came to Rav Huna, Omla Ma Evelach, and she wanted to collect a ksuba. So he said to her, what should I do on your behalf? The Rav, Rav never had a way for Almana to be able to collect the ksuba, because a shvuah isn't an option as we've been learning, and a nether, as we also just learned, is really not going to accomplish the getting to the truth. Armalei, miduhu tama. So she said the reason for Rav's reasoning is el dilman nikna midim ksubasai, because he's concerned that maybe I already collected part of my ksuba. So she jumped and made the following shvuah. Chai Hashem Tzvokais, Imna Nesim Ksubasa Klum. She made a shvuah, she jumped and made a shvuah that she did not have anything from a ksuba. Arav Huna, so says Arav Huna, Maida Rav Bekafetzes, Rav agrees that if somebody jumped, didn't wait till he told her, but jumped on her own and made such a shvuah, that it's valid. And we have here a fundamental machloikus Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says that since she made the shvuah, even though perhaps she shouldn't have, but she made the shvuah and it's fine, and now she can collect the ksuba. Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't agree with Rashi. He says that we have to administer the shvuah, but what the Gemara is teaching us is that once she already made some sort of a shvuah, we don't treat her like the other women that we said that we don't make a shvuah, that those women don't make a shvuah. Here, since she already started she already took upon herself the punishment for making a full shvuah by being kofetzes, we could complete the process and she should make the shvuah. Says the Gemara, Hayita Osla Kamei to Rabbi Bahuna. There was a woman that came to Rabbi Bahuna Almana. Amrla Ma Evelach, again, she wanted to collect the ksuba, and he said, what can I do on your behalf? The Rav Lemab Ksuba Lamalta, Rav never collected a ksuba on behalf of an Almana. Vavamori, similarly, Avamori, Lemabik Suba Salamalta. Umli, Havli Mazaini. She said, okay, if I'm not entitled to my Ksuba, so let me continue getting my Mazainis. So he said to her, Mazaina Nami Meslach, you're no longer entitled to Mazainis either. Dami Yudam Shmu, Hatavask Subasu Bezin, even though the halacha is that a widow continues getting supported from the estate of her deceased husband, that is only until she requests her ksuba. Once she requests her ksuba, The halacha is ein la mezaynus. She's no longer entitled to a mezaynus. There is, the Rishonim give a number of reasons why. Rashi says, because that was the condition that the husband made up with her, that he's only going, that he's going to support her because she's honoring him. But as soon as she shows that she wants to get remarried, she's obviously not honoring him anymore, and his estate is not obligated to pay the ksuba. Another pshat is that the ksuba, the wording of the ksuba, says meger amulasaich. As long as you're an almana, she's not really an almana anymore, she's getting remarried. In fact, the Rama says that not only do we have a situation where the woman comes and collects her requests to her ksuba, does that prove that she's terminating her original marriage and therefore is no longer entitled to support? The Rama says, let's say she got engaged but she didn't, to another man to get married, but she didn't come to Beis Din. That too shows the breaking of the original marriage, and she's no longer entitled to ask for ksuba. It's also interesting to note a machloikus rishonim. We're learning our Mishnah, our Gemara Baruch Hashem, that our almana who comes to request her ksuba payment has to make a shvua. And our dilemma now is, how does she actually make that shvua? But what about an almana who comes to ask for mezaynus? So there are some rishonim that suggest that woman is not obligated to make a shvua. There are other rishonim, particularly the Rambam, who says that she has to make a shvua, which really leads to a difficulty, because our Gemara seems to indicate that she only had to, she would have only had to make a shvua for the ksuba. According to the Rambam, there should be a problem. She shouldn't be able to get the mezaynus either, because she's obligated to make the shvua. So he told her, you're not entitled to your ksuba because you can't make a shvua, and you're not entitled to mezaynus anymore, because once the almana comes to ask for her ksuba, she loses to rights of support. Amrle, so when she heard this, she said, Apchul kursei, his chair should be overturned. She made a terrible curse that he should die, because k'tre avdali, putting upon me all the chumras. You're following the chumra of Rav. The Rav says that almana has no way how to collect the ksuba, and you're putting on me the chumra of Shmuel that I'm not entitled to receive support anymore. Hapchua, says the Gemara, that his talmidim immediately went. They wanted to hope that the curse should not take effect, so they quickly turned over his chair. Still, the Gemara says, his entire life he was always weak. What's pshat, turn over his chair? So there's a pirush from the Habayna in the Iyun Yaakov, who says that the chair on which a dayan, the chair on which a person of prominence sits, represents the foundation of what his position is built on. She was saying, instead of him using chesed to be the foundation of his dayonis, of his judging people, he hasn't acted with me with chesed, and therefore hapchua, it should be turned over. The Sefer Ben Yehuda explains that what she was saying was that he is a dayan, but he's not acting as a proper dayan, and the opposite, hapchua, turn around the word dayan and make it nayid. He should move. He should not be left in this world, chas v'shalom. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Yimri Biro, Adra Beis Din, if a woman makes a neder in Beis Din, for Ashba Chutz LeBeis Din. So most Rishonim explain what the Gemara is teaching us is, there are two ways how a monarch can collect the ksuba. Either by making a neder, and since it's a neder, it's not a shvua, it can be made in Beis Din, or a shvua, as Rav Gamliel taught us in the Mishnah, or a shvua should be made, and that should be done in Beis Din, that should be done Chutz LeBeis Din, as Shmuel taught us. V'leisa kala v'lipa ba'adni. And he says, I want this, my psak that I'm giving here should be publicized. To be ena kehechad of a ma'isa. I want that it should have been fulfilled. I want everybody, I want to see that what I said is being fulfilled, that this is what should be done for such a woman. So they said, we learned our Gemara, as Rashi taught us, that you could do one or the other. There are Rishonim that explain that the Gemara means that she should do both. She should make both a neder in Bezdin and a shvua chutz le Bezdin, and then she could collect the ksuba. Gufa. Amr abzeira amishmu. Loi shana el almana. Only an almana were these halachas taught about. Avug, that she should not make a shvua, as we learned earlier, because she's myra heter. She thinks that if she did take something, she was entitled to it. Avug grusha. When we speak about a grusha, the halach is mashbina isai. We make her swear that she did not, in the cases that the Imam Masechta Ksuba says that a grusha has to swear, she swears in Bezdin. Ask the Gemara, grusha da agraloi, a grusha doesn't make a nether. Vashoch mitam, they sent a document from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Ech ploinzi bas ploini, this woman, the daughter of this person, kibla gita miyada da acha beidaya, received a get from her husband, acha beidaya, the miskaria arye modai, the nadris for osrus perish sheba oilam Allah, and she made a nether that she will not have benefit from any fruit, like kabilas ksubis el glufker echad, that the only thing that she received towards her ksuba payment was one coat, the sefer tehillim echad, a tehillim, the sefer iyov umem sholos mishlei bluim that were worn out. So we see that even a grusha had to make a nether, not a shvuah. Before we go further, there's a machlokes rishonim. Tosis points out that the nether could not have been that she made a nether that she will not have benefit from any payers. Because as we learned, the Rishonim says in Masechta Nedarim, a nether which is impossible to fulfill is not a nether. And no one could possibly survive without having any fruit for the rest of their life. The Ritva, on the other hand, does maintain the gears of Al Gemara, and he says there's a difference between a shvua and a nether. A shvua, which is an issa gavra, a person cannot make an issa gavra which he can't fulfill for the rest of his life. A nether, however, is different. A nether can be made such a nether. The Rishonim also discuss, can we use this Gemara as a raya from which assets a person, a woman, could collect haksuba? The Mordechai says that from here we see that a woman can demand haksuba payment even from svarim that the husband may own. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that this happened to have been the story where the husband voluntarily gave up these svarim to pay up haksuba, but not that a woman has a right to demand a husband's svarim if that's all he has towards haksuba payment. So back to our question. Here she's a mugureshes, and we're saying a mugureshes swears, doesn't make a nether. Yet there, the document that was sent from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael clearly indicated that she made a nether. V'shamnam, just to finish the story, the Gemara says that they evaluated that the items that she received were worth chamisha mana, 5 mana, and she's entitled to the rest. L'chshtav l'yadcha tekbu es ashar. Amr of Ashi, Hahi get yivam havim. It wasn't a regular situation, it was a get yivam. The woman was a widow whose husband had died without children, and his brothers, one of his brothers, had to either do yibam or chalitza. If yibam is done, she becomes the yavam's full-fledged wife. If yibam is not done, then she collects the ksuba from the state of her husband who died. According to Rashi's explanation, what happened here was Achya Behadya wasn't her husband. He was actually her yavam. And what he did was he gave her a get instead of doing yibam. Although, as we learned at great length in Masech the Yevamos, that get midaraisa really doesn't have much validity. It does have that much ability that none of the brothers can do Yibam any longer. So now she has to get Chalitza, and she collects the Ksuba from the estate of her first husband. So therefore, she is considered an Almana, and since she's an Almana, she, as we've been learning, she does make a Neder. So the Rishayim ask, we learned on Amud Aleph, that why is a woman only, why are we concerned by an Almana with a Shvua? Because she's Myra Hatera. She says, I'm taking care of the assignment, and therefore, even what she did collect, which should be deducted from a ksuba payment, she's not going to believe should be deducted from a ksuba payment. Here there were obviously no yisayimim, because her husband died without children. So I saw two answers in the Rishayim. One answer in the Rishayim is that we don't want to make a nafkamina. Chazal did not want to make a nafkamina between different almanas. They want to treat all almanas the same way, and that almanas should not make a shvur, just a neder, even if the specifics are different. One explanation I saw. Another explanation that I saw is that an almana is, another explanation that I saw is that the almana here, because she was waiting for Yibam or Chalitza from one of her brother-in-laws, was taking care of them, was taking care of the estate, and again we have the problem of Myra Hatera. Says the Gemara, Hisker Gamliel HaZaken, so therefore, Gamliel HaZaken instituted Shatei Nederes, that she should make a neder. Arav Huna, Loi Shanum, when is the neder effective? El Bishloi Nisus, if she didn't get married yet. Aval Nisus, if she's already married. Ein Medir Nesai, we don't let her make a neder. Because what's the point of the, because the husband could always be made for the neder, and that will prevent her from, and therefore she will feel comfortable making a neder and not be concerned, because her husband will be made for the neder. So ask Tyfus, why don't we do the following? Let her make the neder, and make the neder in front of the husband, and make the husband be mekayim the neder, where he doesn't have any more the ability to be made for the neder. So the Rosh, so Tyfus answers that we always have to be concerned that he's going to make the neder quietly, he's going to be made for the neder quietly before he does this hakama, and therefore he will be made for and she will not be concerned. Says the Gemara, this is my tama. So why do we say that once the woman is married, making a neder is no longer an option? The mayful about, because we have to be concerned that her husband will be made for the neder. Ask the Gemara, ki loy nisus nami. So even in a case where she didn't get married yet, lechimintzba mayful about, why are we not concerned that when she gets married, that when she will get married, her husband will be made for this neder? Answers the Gemara, ein habal mayful bekoidman. We're not worried because her husband doesn't have the right to be made from the dorim that the wife made prior to the getting married. Ask the Gemara, why are we satisfied with her making a neder? Why should we not be concerned that she's going to go to a chacham and have the chacham be a matter of the neder? Says the Gemara, and the Rishonim point out, the Gemara is very meduyik when it says that we're only able to make the, that she's going to do this, she's going to go to a chacham, not to shlosh ha'joitis, because she's certainly not going to go to three people, even though they're easier to find than one chacham, because that would certainly bring publicity to what she's doing, and she will get caught. But the Gemara's question is, why should we not be concerned she's going to go to a chacham? And so the Gemara, kasav etzarch lefaret as a neder. Rav Huna holds that when she comes to a chacham, she has to speak about all of the details of the neder, and that the chacham will see what happened, and he won't be mad to the neder. Rav Nachman Amar, afilonisus. Even if she is remarried, she can make a neder. Ask the Gemara, nisus vade meifel abal. So why is Rav Nachman allowing us still to make a nether and be able to collect the ksuba? Answers the Gemara, the Madrina la Barabim. And here we have Machloikis, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Rav Nachman is of the opinion that nether that's made Barabim cannot be annulled. A husband can't be mefer, so we don't have to worry. Rav Huna disagrees. He holds that even a nether that was done Barabim can be annulled. The Rishonim ask many questions, trying to come up with different ways of her, even a married woman, still being able to make a nether and not being concerned that the husband is going to be mefer. One, and the husband shouldn't be able to be mefer. One question is, as we learned many times in Masechta Nedarim, the only Nedarim that a husband can be mefer are of Nedarim of Inui Nefesh. So let her make a nether that's not Inui Nefesh, and the husband won't be able to be made for that nether. So the Mefarshim answer, if it's not a nether of Inui Nefesh, then she doesn't really care. She'll make the nether. What's the nether she's going to make? It's a non-Inui Nefesh nether, and she says that if I am not entitled, this should be asa to me. So we'll be asa to her. It really doesn't have that much impact on her life. Another question that the Rishonim and Achrayim discuss is, why don't we make a nether of Nazir Shimshin? That Nazir Shimshin, we learned the Masechta Nazir, cannot be annulled. So the Marit answers that a Chacham cannot be matter on Nazir Shimshin, but a husband has a right to be matter Nazir Shimshin, and therefore this is not a real option. Another question that the Chassam Sofer asks is, why don't we tell her to make the nether the ksav, commit the nether to writing, and therefore the husband who's made for the nether balpeh, by saying I'm being made for the nether, should not have the ability to be made for the nether, because the halach is loyosi alpeh, words loyosi diber on vatal maisa, words that the husband says cannot undo what she has done. So the Chassam Sofer answers that if the Torah teaches us that a husband has the ability to be mefer in the darim, the Torah is teaching us he has that right under all circumstances. No nafkamina, how the nether was made. It was made in writing or was made balpeh. The Ksav Sofer gives a different answer. Fine, she'll make the nether in writing. And we're worried that the husband won't be able to be made for the nether balpeh. He won't be made for the nether balpeh. He'll also write his afara. And therefore, if he'll write his afara, we have no concern. Another question that the Rishonim discuss is that the halacha is that if somebody makes a nether that affects another individual, you can't have that nether annulled only in the presence of those individuals. So here, if she's making a nether because of her relationship with the Yisoyimim, the nether, the Chacham can anyway not do anything with this nether, not in the presence of the Yisoyimim. So Tosfos says that this din that you have to have the other party there is only l'chatchila, but with the Eved, it's acceptable. Another teretz is, when I make a nether to someone else because the person did me a favor, then the halacha is, and now I want to be matter that nether, the halacha is I can't be matter the nether only b'fonof. However, here I did not, the nether wasn't made because the woman felt anything towards the assignment. She only did it because that's what the halacha requires. There the halacha doesn't say that the hatorah or hafara have to be done in front of the individual. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why don't we just create a situation that, why don't we just tell the husband to make a nether that he won't be made for any nedarim? Because if the whole concern once she's married, that if she's making this nether after she's married, is that the husband's going to be made for it. But if the husband makes a nether that he won't be made for her nedarim, that should take away any concern. Answers Rabbi Kiva Eger that the husband is, the Yisoyim could say, the party we have to deal with is only the wife. She's our father's almona. We don't trust this husband, and therefore his nedarim don't have any validity as far as we are concerned, and therefore his nedarim that he's going to make a neder that he's not going to be made for really doesn't have any point as far as we're concerned. One more final question is that we know that when somebody comes to a rav to be matn the neder, he has to say that he has charata. Here, she can't say she has charata. She has no charata. Because she, without this nether, she could have never gotten a ksuba. So the Rishonim answer, the Rashbi answers, the only time charata is required is again, if somebody on their own made a nether and now regrets having made the nether. But in a situation where the person did not make the nether on their own, there is no reason, there is no requirement for charata. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Nisus, if the Almana got remarried, Guavik Subasam Nadra, my love, Nadra Hashta. So we see that she could still make a nether even after she gets remarried and claim her ksuba, like Rav Nachman, not like Rav Huna. Loi, answers Rav Huna, the Braisa is referring to a situation, the Nadra Mikara, that she made the nether before she got remarried, and therefore this is a nether that the husband cannot be made for Tanya. But we learned in another Braisa, Nisus Noideris V'Goyvek Subasai. Here the Braisa clearly says that she makes the nether only after she got remarried. Says the Gemara Tanaihi. This represents Machlokes Tanoim. Dikel Man Da'Oma Nether Shehudah B'Rabim Yesh Le'Afara. There's a Tanu who says that even a nether Shehudah B'Rabim could be Mufar. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. And therefore, even if she gets remarried, and even if she makes a neder berabim, it won't prevent the husband from being made for it. And therefore, we can't rely on the neder. Vikel mandomer, the other Tana, which actually is the opinion of Rav Huna, says ein lo hafara, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that she's going to make. We don't have to be concerned that the husband will be made for the neder. Ibayluhu. Ask the Gemara, Tzarech Lefarz is a nether, ain't Tzarech. When somebody comes to a Chochan to be mat a nether, does he have to detail all of the issues around the nether? Rav Nachman Amar, ain't Tzarech? Rav Papa Amar, Tzarech. Rav Nachman Amar, ain't Tzarech? Rav Nachman says it's not required. The Amar Tzarech, if we're going to require a person to detail all of the parts of the nether, Zimnan the guy is Leila the Burei. Sometimes the person will not say, will accidentally even leave out some of the details. The Chacham made the Shama Mefer. The Chacham only what he heard is he Mefer. And the Hafara is not a good Hafara. Because we just learned that the Hafara requires that he hear everything. So says the Chacham Sofer. Even if we'll say that this Halacha, that you have to mention all the details, is a Drabonon, still, once the Rabbanon established that that's the way Hataras Nadarim is accomplished, anything else will not be a valid Hataras Nadarim. Rav Papa Mitzorach Mishem Milsa Disura. Rav Papa says you have to say all the details, because without saying all the details, we could be concerned that somebody is going to leave out the important detail, like in our case, why she made the nether, and therefore all of the details must be said. There's a Machlaikas Hapaiskim. When we say that all the details have to be mentioned, does it also include the reason why the nether was taken? The Paiskim also ask that we don't find that typically when Hataras Nadarim are done, that a person necessarily mentions all the details. And not a question, according to Rav Nachman, without mentioning all the details, there is no Hataras Nadarim. So the Prisha says, only in a nether where it's not obvious why the nether is being annulled, is there a reason to have to hear all the details. But if it's obvious why the person is having the nether annulled, the person made a nether that he's not going to eat, and it's obvious that the person can't live that way, then the details don't have to be mentioned. Tanan, Hanoisa Noshim Baveira, a kohen who marries a woman who he's not allowed to, posel, is not allowed to do the Avodah. Machlokes if he's posel midaraisa or posel midarabanan, achi dahano, until he makes a neder that he won't benefit from his wife until he divorces her. V'tanei Allah, noidev oivit, yoyer megarish. He could make the neder, do the avoider, and only afterwards do the get. Vi amrit, ain't it tzarech lefaret as a neder, if we're saying that when the person comes to the chacham, he doesn't have to mention all the details, why should we not be concerned that the person is anxious to do the avoider, but he's also anxious to remain married to his wife? So what he'll do is, he'll do the avoider, and then have the neder mutter. And we're going now according to the opinion that neder should be rabim cannot be mutter. Says the Gemara, "Hanich lemandam neder should be rabim ain lo afara. El lemandam yesh lo afari. Even such a neder mayik lemeimer." And says the Gemara, "The Madrina lay al das rabim. He made it with the rabim's consent. Dama meimer hilchasa. Afil lemandam neder should be rabim yesh lo afara. If it's made al das rabim ain lo afara." Machlokes Rishonim why? Some say it's just strong in neder. And other Rishonim say because I connected myself to a rabbin, and I'm saying that I'm giving up control over this neder. Says the Gemara, even though we're saying that a neder shahuda das rabbin cannot be mutter, cannot be annulled, hanimil advar rishus. That's only was made regarding a non-mitzvah item. Al advar mitzvah. If the neder was made regarding a mitzvah, yesh lafaro, it can be annulled. Kehum mikri dardiki. There was a rebbe of Talmidim. Dadu Rav Acha das Rabim. They made a neder that he should no longer be allowed to teach. Dava posh b'yinuke. Most mafarshim explain because he used to hit the children. Others say because he wasn't doing his job properly. And then v'hadri Ravina. Then Ravina brought him back. They were mad to the neder. The leishtatich the daikavasei. There was. It turned out that he was with his failings was still the best rebbe around. So we see that even though it was a neder shahudar al das rabim, the neder was annulled, and therefore, and that's the halacha. Machloikus v'shainim, that we're saying here that neder shahudar al das rabim, if it's l'dvar mitzvah, can be annulled. What is the definition of a dvar mitzvah? Is it any dvar mitzvah, or is it only a dvar mitzvah like this case where it affects the public? He was the rebbe in the yeshiva for all the talmidim. But if it wouldn't affect the entire tzibur, it may be different. The Kehelas Yitzchak uses this Gemara to explain what the pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Nistalka Mimenu Me'onas HaChokhma. The day he passed away, he no longer had the level of Chokhma that he always had. And the question is, why did this happen to Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Kehelas Yitzchak. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a neder al das rabim that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have remained at his level of chachma, it would have been like the case of our Gemara, that where he's the Rebbe that everybody needs, we can be matter the neder. That's why so this reason to be able to be matter the neder al das rabim wasn't in existence. And Moshe Rabbeinu's and the Shvuah HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Moshe Rabbeinu should not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael remained.